Abba, Father, tonight show us more what is in your heart. Show us more of this world so that we are all freed. Give us your word. Strengthen in us our spiritual seeing. Abba, Father, we need you tonight. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Praise the Lord.
So good, dass der Herr den Geist erweckt.
It's so good that the Spirit, that the Lord turns up our spirit in this time. We shouldn't forget. It's about receiving true worshipers who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such who worship Him in this way. And we've received the Spirit. And in John 16, the Lord shows us what type of work He is doing in man. In John 16, verse 8, it says, "And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." That means, in other words, in this world there is no feeling for sin. They have no feeling for righteousness or for judgment. If the world would notice what sin is, or righteousness or judgment, they wouldn't need the Spirit. But they completely have no impression for these matters. That's why the Spirit has to convict them. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. This world, what is this world? We like to fellowship about life, about how the Spirit strengthens us, encourages us, and how we can be filled. But in the Gospel of John, the Lord shows, especially He shows us the Father and the world. These two are always like opposites to each other. I want to read John 12. Here, in verse 31, the Lord also talks about the world. In John 12:31, it says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." So, astonishing that now the Lord says, "Now is the judgment of this world." But it seems like everything is still working. It says, "Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Then in John 14, verse 30, the Lord talks about the world again. There He says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and He has nothing in me." The ruler of this world is coming, and He has nothing in me. Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that we can't see unless we are in our spirit. If we're not in the Spirit, then we cannot see the ruler of this world or what this world means at all. Then we are very naive. Often we are so naive in our dealing with the world, the way we deal with the world. We think, yes, I'm born again, I love the Lord, so everything's okay. I don't do any real big bad sins. Don't commit bad sins. But what the Lord says here, He says, "The ruler of the world is coming, and He has nothing in me." The ruler of this world is Satan. And what did he come for? He came to kill the Lord. This world killed our Lord. This is a characteristic of the world. The world killed our Redeemer, our King. This is the world. This is no small matter. The ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. It's a very strong sentence. He has nothing in me. Now let's read 1 John 5. These meetings, we're talking a lot about John because he wrote things very clearly concerning the true worship. In 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that we are of God, and the bad world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The sinful world. It says here, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world. There's nothing is exempt. Nothing. The entire world, the whole world, lies under the sway of the wicked one. That means it's not a matter of what is good, what is right, what am I allowed to do, what am I not allowed to do. We like to ask ourselves these questions. What am I allowed to do? Recently I was in a place, somebody asked me, how far can I go? How much can I drink? One glass, two glasses, or three glasses? What's the limit? How much alcohol can I drink? That's the wrong question. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It's not about us being well behaved or whether we are evil and misbehaving. Satan is not so blunt. Yeah? It says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That means there's a lot more that's behind it. Let's look at Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 8 to 10. This is where the Lord was tested. He was tempted. Satan himself came to tempt Jesus. And how did he tempt Jesus? How did he tempt the Lord?
Auf einen sehr hohen Berg und zeigt ihm alle Reiche der Welt und ihre Herrlichkeit. Und er sagte zu ihm,
and the devil took him up to the
wenn du niederfällst und mich anbetest.
Okay, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. That's really strong. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.
Amen. Wie stehen wir zur Welt?
How is our relation to the world? How do we deal with the world? How many compromises do we make? Or are we without compromise? What would we do if Satan brought us upon an exceedingly high mountain and he showed us all the kingdoms of the world? Thailand. My brother was there. He said, it's one of the most beautiful, you have the most beautiful beaches there in the entire world, there in Thailand. The most beautiful beaches of the world are in Thailand. But the devil didn't just show him Thailand. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He showed him the best of the best and their glory. What will you say? Oh, okay, let me have it. I want it. Just imagine, you just fly from one country to the other and now you have the opportunity to receive this opportunity. And he shows you all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. but under one condition. He said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. That's really strong. That means you don't get this world for free. It comes at a price. Every matter of the world, there is someone behind it, and his only goal, aim, is that you fall down and worship him. You can't explain the world so simply. I have to speak to myself in this matter, because often we're so naive and we think, I don't have a problem with the world. I'm free. I don't think we're free. To be honest, I don't think we're really free. We still have so much pleasure in all of these things. We like so many things.
Oh, gefällt uns gut.
Music. We like it. We like to listen to music.
Our
MP3 player has a lot of files. 16 gigabyte isn't enough to hold all of our files. I need 32 gigs to download all my music videos and my movies and my games. I don't have enough memory. I wish I had more memory. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I see what the young people do with their smartphones, I'm shocked. I'm really shocked that you watch some of these things voluntarily. It's really hard for me to comprehend. But you know, this world isn't so simple. It's not so easy. We shouldn't think that we've comprehended it, that we've seen through it, and that we are free. The ruler of the world, if he came to the Lord Jesus himself, do you not think he'll come to you? Do you not think he has an offer for you? This entire world, there's nothing that you're interested in at all? We can ask ourselves. This entire world, I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in music at all, but what about sports? What about the World Cup? Everyone was so excited about the World Cup. Until midnight, no one went to bed, everyone was awake. You know, this world is not so simple. It's not so... Yeah, maybe here in the youth conference we don't have a lot of the world surrounding us, but how about when you go home? On Saturday night, when we get back from the youth conference, it's like we're in withdrawal. Oh, I have to turn off Facebook. I've missed so much.
Yeah.
Here we're busy every day, we have a strong schedule, but a tight schedule. But when you go home, what do you do? Where do you fall down? What do you worship? Do you worship the world or do you worship the Lord? It's not that easy. We shouldn't think that it's so simple. I think for us, this is the biggest problem to become true worshipers, because we so quickly fall down and worship when we see the glory of the world. We have no resistance. As soon as something nice happens, we have no resistance at all. And immediately we're full. We're just totally there and at it with our body, soul, but without the spirit. Sometimes we're in the meeting and we say, Lord, I praise you. And as soon as the meeting's over, we go to public viewing. We're just there with our whole heart. So what do you worship? Do you think that if the Lord were to fall down and worship Satan, that he could worship God and be a true worshiper? In John 14, this verse is very strong. 14, verse 30, the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Do you think this was easy for the Lord when he was a man? Do you think the Lord had no temptation? The devil would have given him all of the kingdoms, but he said, he has nothing in me. This is a true worshiper. If we want to be true worshipers for the Lord, then we need to be like this. If we ask, how much am I allowed to do? How far am I allowed to go? Then there's already a compromise. That's not nothing anymore. Now you say, oh, I'm not allowed to do anything anymore. Everything is forbidden. I didn't say that, did I? But the Lord, he shows us whom the world belongs to, whom all these things belong to, and whom does your heart belong to? How much of our heart? I'm talking to myself. I am not immune against it. I have to exercise in the same way to walk in the Spirit. There are so many offerings, so many things that you can invest all your capacity in. Yeah, maybe you want to get good grades. I can't go to the youth conference because I want to write an A on Monday in the exam. We invest all of our capacity in our hobbies. But I tell you, when you get into your profession and you start working, then an even larger world opens itself up to you. Wow. There's not a small offer there. There's not a small... It's not a slim selection. We have to tell the Lord now, Lord, save me from the love of money. Save me from the love of money. Tell you, money really can rule over us. And then once you get the opportunity, maybe you have a good education, and then all of a sudden you start to earn money at your job, then your career can really just swallow you up so much. The ruler of the world comes and he has nothing in me. This world isn't dumb. It's not stupid. If we want to be true worshippers, we have to say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. I was really surprised when I started work. I didn't think I would ever be interested in having a career. But then when you're there and everyone is striving to further their career, they want to be good. They want to climb up the corporate ladder. They make sacrifices to leave everything behind, have a good career. Then you need to have open eyes. Yeah? Satan, he shows you the glory of this world. But the Lord wants to show you the glory of the Father. So now it depends upon how much you've seen. I tell you, depending upon how much you want to have of the world still shows how much you've already seen of the glory of the Father. They both kind of cancel each other out. Let's read John 1 John says, do not love the world or the things of the world, for if someone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. We are lacking a relationship to the Father. We don't enjoy the Father. If we've seen the glory of the Father, then you're a lost cause for the world. John 1 says, verse 14, and the world became flesh and dwelled among us, and we saw his glory. A glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How can you be saved from this, from the straw of the world? Go into your spirit, and not just a little bit. I want to write something down for you. I'm going to flip this page over after that. We'll flip it back. When we look at the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it looks like this. This is the court, then on the outside, then in the middle you have the holies, the holiest, and then in the very middle you have the holiest of holies. So here you, outside you see in the court you see an altar for the sins, and there's a wash basin for washing yourselves. Then there's also a place to prepare the meal offering for the priests, and there's the lampstand, and there's the incense altar in the holiest place. And we all have access into the tabernacle. We all have the access. But the question is, how far do we enter in into the tabernacle? If our access only goes to the altar to confess our sins, and then you turn around and exit the tabernacle, you don't see a lot of the glory of the Father, because the glory around the outer courtyard isn't that great. You can't see a lot of glory there, because God dwells in the holiest of holies. Here you only see a bronze altar. There's not that much glory. But if we really take the worship seriously and say, Father, I want to be saved from the world, I want to see your glory, then we need to continue to be cleansed more thoroughly in the wash basin. Our heart has to be cleansed from the love of the world, from the love of the things of the world. Covetousness is idolatry. You know, if I absolutely want to have a smartphone, this is idolatry. You're an idolater. And then we are worshiping these things. The Lord has to cleanse our heart. We have to come forward and be cleansed from it. That the Lord would say, do away with this, get it out of my heart. Then we have to go further and say, Lord, I want more from you. And then we enter into the holy place. We enjoy the fellowship here, and then we enter into the holiest of holies. And this is where the Father reveals his glory. And today it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me how much of the glory of the Lord I see and know. John says, we saw his glory. And he says, it's full of grace and mercy. And I myself, I want to enter in all the way to the holiest of holies. Sometimes I just took time, I separated time to say, Lord, I need to see your glory again, anew. I need to see it more. I may be drawn to have nice vacation. Yeah, you're drawn, you're always thinking about where can you fly to have a nice vacation. And all sorts of things draw us. That shows us we need to enter in deeper into the tabernacle to see more of the glory of the Father. I'm not saying we're not allowed to do this and that, but if it's already drawing you, if it's an appeal to you, if it appeals to you, that's already too much. The enemy already has room in you. What do we have to do? We have to enter into the holies of holies to see the glory of the Father, like John 1:14, and we saw his glory. We beheld his glory. This is so important. There's so much that we can say, but we can't say everything. We need to take this seriously, because otherwise our worship is not pleasing to God. You cannot worship the Father and idols. You can't love the world and worship the Father. That does not make you a true worshiper. We have to say, Lord, save us. The Lord said, the ruler of the world came and he had nothing in me. Ask the Lord Spirit, where do I love the world? Where am I still captive, held captive by the world? What am I drawn to? Give me light. I want to be a true worshiper. Convict me. Let's read 2 Corinthians 6. Everything else, the example of the people of Israel, we don't have time to mention it now. Maybe Marcos can mention it afterwards. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 18. This is a word for us, for the true worshippers. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? In what communion has light with darkness? In what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part of a believer with an unbeliever? In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Then we'll have a wonderful feast with the Father and a true worship. Mm-hmm.